Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Research, Development, and Precious Gems here at Car Talk Plaza.
You know,
this is an actual department, you know. I mean,
of course, we have departments for everything.
Indeed.
And do we have someone staffing all these departments? How many people do we have here?
Louis Cronin takes care of all.
Well, I have news here that could be on a par, it seems to me, with Pons and Fleischmann. I
mean, that's too bad.
I mean, Pons and Fleischmann came out of nowhere, and they said, well, forget about all that stuff that you're doing. We're going to make all the electricity you need in a tomato can, right?
Yeah, well.
Here, get this for news. Dr. Elias Sioris and Dr. Carlos DeStefani of the Swinburne Institute of Technology in Melbourne, Australia.
You sure it isn't Swinburne? Swindle?
Swindle. The Swindle Institute of Technology in Melbourne, Australia, have invented a device as big as a wine bottle. You with it already? Don't you love it already?
And I know the genesis of this device. They drank the wine first.
It fits under your car and changes the emissions of your car. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Into carbon and water. Well, that sounds okay.
It's harmless enough.
A microwave emissions converter and heats up the exhaust to 5,000 degrees Kelvin. The carbon particles are put into the exhaust pipe where the carbon is changed to industrial grade diamonds.
Sonia, Hayes, Tutu.
Huh?
Get now, out.
Huh? We're killing ourselves trying to solve the emissions problem. These guys not only solve that problem, but as a little byproduct, they make industrial-grade diamonds.
So is the thing available at Kmart?
No, but Sears will be selling them in their auto repair centers any day. Well, Dr. Elias Sioris and Dr. Carlos DeStefani, my hat is off to you, gentlemen. You have solved the world's problems.
Yes,
man
indeed.
Alive.
Well, if you've got any wacko theories you'd like to run by us or some theory about your car, you can give us a call at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Maggie Brown from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Maggie.
Maggie, Portland, Hi. Maine. I've been to Portland, Maine.
You have? I'm actually a transplant. I'm originally from Boston.
There used to be a terrific seafood restaurant right on, what is that big river?
The Portland, Maine River.
The Portland, Maine River, the Casco?
I don't remember.
There's a lot of rivers, actually. Further up Maine, too.
Portland is not on the water, on the ocean, is it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is?
Well, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Portland.
Portland. Well,
yeah.
I mean...
I thought it was inland.
No, there are ports that are not on the ocean. I mean,
that's
the Mississippi
true.
River has
They'd
many
like to
ports.
Be. That's why they call them port.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what's up, Maggie?
Well, I am the happy owner of a 95 Geo Prism.
Mm.
And I love this car very much. And it's been very, very good to me. Like, kind of like baseball was to that
yes,
person.
Yes, very, very good to me.
But lately, I've been noticing that my gas pedal is sticking. It tends to be worse when it's damp or rainy out.
And cold?
I haven't really pinpointed it to that, but that could have something to do with it. It's cold here.
Is it worse first thing in the morning?
No, not really. It goes on throughout the day. It's most noticeable when I have come to a complete stop and I have to go. It's a standard.
In other words, you step in the gas and it requires extra effort.
Exactly. People that are next to me think I'm revving my engine.
Oh. But are you, in fact, revving? When you step on the gas, does, in fact, the engine rev up or
yes.
Nothing happens?
It revs.
Okay, so you step on the gas, and for the first portion of your application of force, nothing happens.
That's
And then
all
it finally
of a sudden,
breaks loose.
Exactly. It's like I'm breaking through to some sticky point, and then I'm in there.
Right.
And,
then it's revving. And, of course, you're going to burn out the clutch if you haven't done that already.
I haven't, surprisingly.
Well, maybe you have, and you don't
but
know
But when
it.
You take your foot off the gas, do the revs come down?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And has anyone looked at it to find out where the sticky point might be?
Not really. I've kind of done a little bit of, I've sprayed WD-40 down near the gas pedal area. I've had all kinds of ideas thrown at me, and I'm at the point now where I need to bring it somewhere, but I kind of wanted to bounce it off of you guys first.
You haven't had any work done on the car recently?
No, just alignment, stuff like that.
Oil change, maybe?
Stuff.
I mean, maybe somebody left some Hostess Twinkies.
Maybe there's an apple pie there.
And they melted.
Well, at least it would smell good, wouldn't it?
It would smell good, yeah. For a while.
Yeah.
You could just have carbon buildup in the throttle body.
Okay.
And it might just require cleaning. So they'll take off the snorkel that runs between the air filter and the throttle body, and they'll clean it with a solvent, and that may fix it.
Okay.
But when it doesn't, you may need to have the throttle body replaced.
Okay.
Because sometimes if you get too much wear, it will cause it to stick, and they'll have to decide only after they clean it.
So either a can of WD-40 will really do it when they spray it in the right place, or you're going to buy a new throttle body, which is going to cost you $500.
Really?
Or more money. Don't worry. Maggie, don't worry.
I'll try not to.
It's only money.
It's only money. That's a famous last line, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good luck, Maggie.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Alan in Denver.
What's up?
Well, when I read about this year's Nobel Prizes, I thought about you guys and my car.
Really?
Yeah.
The prize in medicine was won for the biological principle of apoptosis. And it was won by an MIT guy, actually.
Yeah.
The principle is that an apparently healthy cell contains within it a death gene.
Yeah.
And when the death gene activates, it kills an apparently healthy cell. And the question is, could the death gene have been activated in my car?
Oh.
Really?
It's a Mercedes E320 wagon, which for 100,000 miles ran just perfectly. And it seems like when the odometer hit 100,000 miles, it went through in rapid succession the head gasket, the wheel bearings, the throttle actuator, and the dreaded check engine light is on again.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's little known that they can trigger this death gene by radio control.
That's the question. Is there a guy in Stuttgart pressing a button?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's somebody doing it. Jeez.
And I guess the bigger question is, when do you decide to get rid of it, and when do you decide to keep putting repairs into the vehicle?
Isn't that a good question,
This is the age-old question.
It really is.
And most people do exactly the wrong thing. We can see that you're on the verge of getting rid of this thing and getting something else because you figure this is just the beginning. And the roof is about to cave in.
Why would you want to get rid of it? Because you think it's going to be cheaper to make payments to the bank? No. Right?
True.
So why would you want to get rid of it?
Well, it's just such an annoyance. I mean, it's like
annoyance.
We should have the check engine light directly connected to my MasterCard account.
Well, yeah.
Are you a very busy guy?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Yeah. I would devote a day a week to the car.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed.
Well, this may be a message from beyond to tell you to slow down and smell the antifreeze.
You know, and we do discard a lot of things in this country before their time. This is a perfectly wonderful car.
The first 100,000 miles, it was great. For the past 10,000 miles, it seems to me like I'm putting in about a dollar a mile in maintenance.
So it's only got 110,000 miles on it?
111.
It's a brand new car.
Yeah.
See, on the other hand, you may not be the right person to have it. And it's not as though it's going to go to the crusher.
Right.
Someone will get it if you don't want it.
And after I get this next repair done, of course, the person who I sell it to will have no trouble for 50,000 miles.
No trouble.
Oh,
no,
110. 110. I bought this car at 111,500 miles
and
on
just
it.
To tick you off, you'll meet the guy about 3 years from now.
And he'll tell me what a great car
he'll
it is.
Say, boy, I glad I bought
that. Why did you ever trade that thing in? I bought it from the dealer for $6,000. I haven't spent a dime on it. But if it makes you happy, you should go out and buy another car.
Yeah. I mean, the answer to your question is there an answer to when to do this? And the answer is, yes, love.
Okay.
When you fall out of love with the car, then it's time to dump it. If you were to get rid of this, what would you buy? Another one?
No, actually, I was looking at something like a Toyota Highlander.
You were?
Yeah.
You've already been looking?
Yes.
In other words, you've been cheating.
This is my
last. This is like having a little affair.
Yes, your show is my last stop before
before the big divorce.
Before deciding either fix it or get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, obviously you've fallen in love with something else, and I can't.
Is she prettier than me?
I'm prettier than you. I mean, I can't in good conscience try to talk you out of this.
No, I'm trying to keep an open mind.
No, you're not. Yeah, the Highlander is a perfectly wonderful car, and it'll probably give you at least as many trouble-free miles as the Mercedes. It's not as comfortable. It's not as safe. It's not as a lot of other things, but it's new, and you like it.
If you've run the course with this car, and it sounds to us just from the tone of your voice that you have, then you're doing the right thing.
I don't quite have car fever yet.
Yeah, sure. And somebody will come along and say, my God, what a beautiful car. And they'll be more than happy to give you $3,000 or $4,000 for it.
Yeah. No, I think you should trade this in because you're depriving some, by not trading it in, you'd be depriving someone else of a wonderful car.
Well, you're going to make me cry now.
I know.
We don't want to do that.
See you, Alan.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Going to make me cry.
Well, he should be crying. The car is crying.
You know, I noticed that a lot of times we have calls and the sign-off, the last few words that somebody says are hilarious.
Well, it's like Dave from Bemidji. Zip in the top of my head. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carrie from Royal Oak, Michigan.
Carrie with a K?
Yep.
Two R's?
No, one.
With an I, then.
K-R-I. Yeah, like the lotion.
Oh, wait. You must be from California.
No.
Where?
Detroit.
Detroit?
Yeah.
What an imposter you are.
Yeah.
Carrie, huh? With an E and an I.
With an E and an I.
Got
cool.
It. What's up, Carrie?
Well, I recently received a Hornet scooter for my birthday.
A Hornet scooter?
What's a Hornet scooter?
It's a Hornet. It's made by Manco. It's 49 cc's, so I don't have to.
Oh, okay. This is like a moped.
Like a moped, yeah. But it's different. It's a scooter.
It doesn't have pedals.
It doesn't have pedals.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a tiny little motorcycle.
Right.
No, but your feet are in front of you. It's more like a Vespa.
Yeah, it's more like a Vespa. Right, exactly.
It's an imitation
Vespa. I raced a Vespa on it, but the Vespa won.
Yeah. The Vespa won?
I want to beat the Vespa. So.
Oh, so you want to know how to soup it up.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can see it now.
Is that really what you want to do?
Yeah, it's what I really want to do. How can I make it go faster?
How can you make it go faster?
Yeah.
Jeez. The whole idea behind these things is that you poke along. That's why it's only 49 cc's.
Right.
But how much did the Vespa beat you by?
Not much. It was during, like, they have the Woodward Dream Cruise, and I kind of caught up with them, and then he just blew me away. I was probably doing 37 miles an hour. He was probably doing about 45.
Oh,
really?
Well, is the Vespa also 49 cc's?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, Vespa makes two models. If he has the bigger engine, it's hopeless.
Right.
Yep.
So he may be funning you, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'll tell you, tire pressure has a lot to do with how much drag, and drag is an essential thing with any motor vehicle, but it's especially true when you have only 49 cc's working for you. And so, well, this is going to be a one time. This is going to be a challenge match. You want to just. Well, I was going to suggest that you would let the air out of his tires.
Yeah, all of it. Now, just let me get this straight. When you took off from a dead stop, was he ahead of you all the way?
Yeah, pretty much. So.
I think he's got the bigger engine, in which case it's hopeless.
Okay.
Yeah, because it isn't fair then. And then.
Well, is there any way that I can get my scooter to go in like faster than like 42, 45 miles an hour?
Well, you could.
Yes, you could go to the top of Mount Everest.
Yeah,
and point down.
Well, you could put a big wheel on the back, and then it'll be like you're going downhill all the time. No, there's nothing you can do if it's. I mean, 49 cc's is 49 cc's.
Right.
My lawnmower, I think, has got more than that.
Does not.
You know, so it's pretty. It's a pretty tiny engine, and it's amazing that you can even get to 37 miles an hour with it.
And why didn't you buy the Vespa anyway? Don't forget, it's Italian.
This is a four-stroke, and it's better for the environment.
All the Vespas are two-stroke.
Yours is a four-stroke?
Yeah.
And the Vespas are two-stroke. Oh, that explains. You'll never beat them.
No? Okay.
Oh.
No. But mine's better for the environment, so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you should feel you have the moral high ground here, Carrie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right, you can thumb your nose at this guy and say, you may be faster, but I'm cleaner.
But I'm cleaner.
Yeah, and I think, don't worry about, you're not going to beat him. If you want to beat him, you're going to have to sneak a bigger engine in there. But that's another time.
We can do that, too.
but so you drive this thing back and forth to work every day?
Well, yeah, just around town. I scoot around, yeah.
Isn't it a blast?
It's great.
Yeah.
People look, and I beep my little horn and go, doo-doo.
Well, personally, I think it is the absolute best way on the planet to travel.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was just down in South America, and everybody's got a scooter there.
Everybody. And yeah. There's no reason for anything else.
Well, we will eventually come to our senses, especially when we have much worse traffic. If traffic jams are bad enough, then people will resort to driving.
I want to go
things.
On record. We will never come to our senses, not on this planet.
Well, not in our lifetime.
Not in anybody's lifetime.
Kerry, enjoy whatever that thing is you're driving.
Her name's Rosie.
Rosie, okay. See you later.
Thanks,
good luck.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Look, I know you don't remember last week's puzzler, but I'm going to give you one hint, and I know you're going to get it.
Okay, go for it. Give me the hint.
It's the type of puzzler that I haven't done in a very long time.
Oh, I got it. It was a good puzzler.
I wouldn't go that far. No, it was an automotive puzzler, and we'll have the answer along with more of your calls in a minute, so please stay tuned.
I want to drive my car. I want to drive my car. Further and further on down the road. I want to drive my car. I need a place to go. I need a place to go. Further and further on down the road. I need a place to go.
And even though hearing aid salesmen are consumed by guilt whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout out to thank our sponsor, Emma. Now, these guys offer tools for email marketing. With Emma, you can create sophisticated automated email campaigns and deliver targeted messages to your audience. Well, you can. We just create our annoying Time Kill Weekly and Puzzler newsletters. Emma's interface is so intuitive, even our Car Talk web lackeys have figured it out. Who would have thought? Your team can create great-looking emails in a drag-and-drop editor and track the results easily using an interactive click map that shows where people are clicking in your email. Emma's great for marketing teams or agencies who want to upgrade from the more DIY services but don't want the complexity and expense of an enterprise system. Give them a try at myemma.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this one came to us from a listener named Brad Hamill, and I'll just read it as is. I didn't think I could improve it. Well, I could have. I could have obfuscated
even more than Brad did.
It didn't really need it.
Didn't need it. Good. Okay.
Anyway, this fellow takes his Volvo to the shop, but this could be just about any car, and he complains of a strong pulsing in his brake pedal when he applies the brakes. The mechanic looks over the car and finds that, sure enough, the front disc brake rotors are warped. So he installs new ones and sends the guy on his way. 5,000 miles later, the fellow comes back to the shop and complains that the pulsing is back.
Huh.
Suspicious and yet confident that his work was, what, perfect.
Yeah.
The mechanic asks the owner a few questions. Do you ride the brake?
No.
Have you tightened your lug nuts with a high-powered air wrench?
No.
Have you had a hemorrhoidal flare-up recently?
Yes.
Has anyone had their hands on your lug nuts recently?
Absolutely not.
Have you bought new tires?
No.
The mechanic is at a loss and begrudgingly replaces the warped rotors.
Mm. Again.
1,000 miles later, the guy comes back and guess what?
What?
Same problem.
I would never have guessed.
This time the mechanic asks straight up what the heck he's doing to the car that could be causing this problem, knowing that there's nothing wrong with the parts and nothing wrong with the installation.
Hmm.
The fellow says, geez, I don't know. I go on a lot of long trips, and it's always the day after I arrive home from these trips that I start feeling the pulsing, but never during the trip.
Really?
The mechanic then asks him one question and solves the mystery. What question did he ask him?
I'm afraid to even venture a guess.
He asks him, did anyone have his hands on your lug nuts?
asks him one question, and from the answer to that question, he knows what's wrong with the guy's car.
Mm.
Wow.
And the question he asks him is, do you wash the car immediately after returning from these long trips?
Oh, really?
And the fellow says, as a matter of fact,
I get home,
as soon as I pull into the driveway, before I even loosen my tie, I've got the hose out and I'm hosing the dirt off the car. And in doing so, I'm warping the disc rotors by hitting those hot rotors with ice
cold water
on one side only.
Man, one side only.
Well, he's hitting the wheel side of the disc rotor. When you go through a puddle, you're immersing the whole disc rotor in water.
Yeah,
and so you tend to equalize the forces. But when the thing is red hot, because you've been driving like crazy to get home to your sweetie, at least pull into the driveway and wash the car, and you put that ice cold water on that red hot disc
rotor
on one side of it, it's warped. And who's our winner this week?
Wow. Oh, boy. Boy. That's good. I mean, that's good, but we're going to get a lot of mail.
Don't we always?
I'm just letting you know. We do have a winner. The winner is Jesse Dornstreich.
Dornstreich.
From Philadelphia, PA. And for having his answer, Jesse could be either his or her answer, selected at random from among all the correct answers, Jesse's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he or she can get a Car Talk Disappearing Hairline Cover-Up Kit, also known as the embroidered Car Talk baseball cap.
Anyway, we'll have an interesting little puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. You notice I didn't say no, because it isn't.
Not going to be no.
Exactly, no.
That's all right.
But stick around. You might like it. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How many possible ways are there to say this?
Lots more. You'll see. Hello.
Hi, this is Dave Jones from the fair town of Broadway, Virginia.
Broadway, Virginia.
I love it.
Broadway.
Are there bright lights on Broadway?
There's a few.
Are there any streets in Broadway?
I'd say about 10, 15 streets probably.
Is the main street called Broadway?
It's called Main Street, actually.
Oh. Main Street and Broadway.
Main Street, Broadway.
Well, that could confuse people, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Dave, what's going on?
I have a 1986 Audi 5000 Quattro Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And the heater fan only blows when I'm taking a right-hand turn. Now, this I was able to deal with this in the summertime, but recently we had the first frost, and I found myself with my head out the driver's side window, driving around in circles in the cul-de-sac, waiting for the windshield to defrost.
Yeah, that's not, yeah. I mean,
you're a patient man, Dave.
or a cheapskate of the first order. So continue.
Well, it has a low, auto, high, and a defrost button.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was an intermediate stage to the problem where I could press the high or the defrost button first, and the fan would come on. And then the auto fan would work after that. And then it only worked when I would take a right-hand turn, and it had to be on high. It wouldn't work on the automatic fans.
Right, but if once it begins to work on high, does it continue to work?
Yes.
After you've made the turn?
Well, no.
No.
If I then go straight or
it
take a left,
working.
It turns off. But if I turn right again, it will come on. So in the summer, when I needed some air conditioning, I would have to like take a little jog to the right every time I wanted to get a blast of cold air.
Oh.
That must have been fun following you around town. What do you do for a living, Dave?
I'm the technology coordinator for James Madison University College of Business.
So you know about all this electronic stuff.
Well,
right.
I wasn't going to mention, but my undergraduate degree is mechanical engineering.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy. Well, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I think we have to pray. I'm not sure what to pray for.
No, I'm going to give Dave the practical solution to this.
Okay.
Toggle switch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I didn't know whether to pray that it would be the fan motor
Well, it could be that. It could be the relay. It could be the resistor. It could be the controller on the dash. It could be a lot of things, or a combination of any two or more of those things.
And I think I would pray for the fan motor.
I tried to pop the inside temperature sensor off the dashboard and ended up breaking the plastic.
Now, see, I would take the direct approach. And whenever I have a problem like this, I always go to see if the fan motor itself works.
Well, it works fine when I turn to the right.
Well, no, I know, but you need to find out if it will work when the vehicle's not moving.
Uh-huh.
In other words, if it's moving to the right, it may be because, if it works rather when you turn to the right, it may be because the impeller is lodged against something, and when you make the turn, you're dislodging whatever was causing the thing to bind up. I don't think so, however.
I don't either. It sounds to me like it is not a mechanical problem. It's an electrical problem, so you're looking in the right place.
You broke
the right piece.
I'm a little worried about the automatic seat heaters.
Yeah. Those
are they going to electrocute my passengers?
No.
They're going to electrocute your butt, man.
I mean, I don't know how to tell you to get this thing apart. Do you have the repair manual?
No, I don't.
Oh, you need that.
Oh, hopeless without it.
And then I have to decipher the electrical diagrams.
Well, that's easy.
Well, you can do that.
But I think you should go to the Audi dealer and see if you can catch one of the mechanics stumbling out the back door some night, and maybe for $20 you can buy his 86 5000 repair manual.
Okay.
Because they don't work on anything that old at the dealer, and that's your best hope.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Good luck, Dave.
Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's one of those problems it's really simple if you could see all the stuff. If it were set up on a board.
He needs the climate controlled.
He's going to have to ditch
panel
that.
For this.
He's going to ditch
it. But he's going to eventually go with a toggle
switch. The toggle switch is the best answer.
Or the two wires hanging below the dash,
which he twists together.
And the fan,
I like it.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Linda. I'm calling from Lake Wampaupack in the Pocono Mountains in northeast Pennsylvania.
Hi, Linda.
How
Lake
are you?
Something or other in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Lake Wampaupack.
Yeah, we got it.
I spelled it right out here. Yeah,
sure, Lake Powell in the Outback. I think
you got it. That's good.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, when I was traveling with my family out to Fargo, North Dakota, we had a Suburban, a 94 Suburban, and it burned up on the interstate. We closed the interstate.
Burned up? I mean, literally burned?
Burned.
Burst fast. Into flames?
The Fargo Fire Company came, and there was just nothing left.
Oh, man.
But anyhow, we bought a new used Suburban out in Fargo from this Fargo farmer. And
did you have a good laugh when the thing burned up?
Well, you know, it wasn't all that bad. It made it an adventure.
You'll never forget this trip.
Chevy Chase rollover. I mean, you had a better story than him. But the strange thing, and why I'm calling, is that the car starts and stops itself, and has for 2 years.
As you're driving, it'll just shut off?
No. Usually, I'm a teacher, and I've had people come into the school and say, Linda, your car's running. And I said, yeah, I know. It does it all the time.
Oh.
And it'll stop 10 minutes later. Or else early in the morning, I'll look out the window at 5:30, the car's on. The lights are on. It's rolling. So what do I do? What did this Fargo farmer sell me?
This thing starts up all by itself.
All by itself.
The key is in your pocket.
My key is usually, in my pocketbook. Now, I will tell you, there was a remote control starting
I knew
gadget,
it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know where it is. And I mean, it's probably in the couch cushion somewhere, and it didn't have any battery. So there is that, but it doesn't work. So...
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, it does work. The receiver part of it is working. I mean, you can certainly disable it.
Well, it has no batteries.
No. The thing has a battery. It's the one under the hood.
Oh, that battery.
You have two pieces. You have the transmitter.
Right.
Which is the thing you'd click from the bathroom.
Right.
So you're
this guy used to use it when he was getting... He'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he'd click the thing, and it was 40 below in Fargo.
Yeah.
And he'd get the thing all warmed up. So you get some heat when you get out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in northeast PA, we don't need it quite that much. But
no, especially in the middle of the day.
Not 4 o'clock when the kids are getting out of school.
Well, I mean, someone has to look under the hood and find the pieces of this thing. I mean, it could well be that somebody opens his garage door and starts your truck.
Could that do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's unlikely, but... It's not impossible.
But when you're grasping for an answer like we are, then it's
you're
at the top of the list.
Here, huh?
Well, something is triggering the remote starter.
So anything could be triggering this.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what it is?
Yeah, any kind of radio.
It would be interesting to find out.
Any kind of radio interference, a cell phone. I bet you the places that it happens are the same all the time.
Yeah, it's usually my driveway around when I look out the window and dawn's early light, it's on.
And what time does your neighbor leave for work?
Oh, we don't have neighbors.
My brother doesn't either.
All my neighbors moved out. I don't know why.
No, nobody lives very close to me.
Nobody lives very close.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the thing could be malfunctioning to the, and this is maybe why the farmer sold it. It was waking the hogs up. I mean, it may be that it's just defective and it's just turning itself on.
Yeah.
So I think you need to just disconnect it. Take it to a shop.
Okay.
And tell them to find the thing and disconnect. There are two wires that you need to disconnect, and that will disable
and that will
the
do
thing.
It.
And that will solve my problem.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
See you, Linda.
See you, Linda.
Thank
that
you very
was
much.
Easy.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Mary Jane. I'm from Ashland, Oregon.
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Hi, Mary.
My God. Mary Jane. Are you a little goody two-shoes or are you a wild woman?
I'm a wild woman.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, for years.
Let me give you my home phone number.
Okay.
But I appear to be nice on the outside.
Okay, that's good.
That's good. It depends on what crowd I'm with, you know.
Yeah.
I can go either way.
never mind.
Not that way. Oh, forget it.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget it. Never mind.
All right.
So
what's up, Mary Jane?
And here's the story. About a year and a half ago, my son was about to turn 19, and he's going through what I can only lovingly refer to as his transitional period.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah. And so during this transitional period, his car was somewhere for months. Which is okay because he lost the keys, which was okay because he lost his license due to crimes and misdemeanors, if you will.
Yeah.
Suddenly, at 3 in the morning, 3 months later, he drives up, no headlight, registration expired, and no license into my driveway. Well, that night when he brought it home, we went out and took out the battery to prevent him from further, you know, possible incarceration. It was the only chance I had to save him. So he hit the battery, so therefore he can't find his, he can't drive the thing.
Yeah, good idea.
But I thought this transitional period was going to be really short, but it's a year and a half later now. The question is...
And he's just as wacko now as he was then?
Now he really has a job, and he's coming out of it, and it's a pleasure to have him around again.
Boy, is that good to hear.
But it's not a pleasure to have his car in my driveway.
Yeah.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
After a year and a half... Is this thing going to ever come alive again? What do I do with it?
Well, what kind of a car is it? Let's see if it's...
Now comes the real joke.
Yeah,
is Ford Escort 89.
It's always cars like this that start right up.
Yeah, but without a battery, huh?
No, well, we don't even need the battery. You might be able to do this with like 4 or 5 flashlight batteries stuck together. If this were an 89 Jaguar, the engine would be seized up. You know, if this was some collectible... car,
yeah.
You could rest assured that it would have been ruined by sitting there for a year and a half.
Okay.
But cars like Escorts, this thing could sit there for another decade.
Oh, don't tell him that.
And you could turn the key and it would fire right up.
Uh-huh. Great. Yeah.
And you don't really want it to fire right up, actually.
No?
No, you'd rather that it didn't start immediately.
Well, it won't anyway.
And hopefully it won't. So, I mean, what I would do is I would put a battery in it.
Okay.
And... I would like disconnect the coil wire and crank it, maybe for 20 seconds, just to get the oil up where it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Then put the coil wire back in, say a little Ave Maria, and turn the key, and it'll probably start right up.
No kidding.
It could well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to just check the motor oil level before you start it and make sure there's coolant in the radiator and all that.
Oil.
But other than that, just fire it up.
Wouldn't that be cool?
And then get it out of there as fast as you can.
Yeah, and maybe you give it to him for Christmas again.
The only other thing that might be a problem is the gasoline.
Gasoline.
Because the gasoline is a year and a half old, and gasoline turns to ugly nastiness after a year and a half.
If you do get it started, just go to the gas station and fill it up with some good stuff.
Okay.
So as to dilute the crud that's accumulated in there.
Okay.
And it'll be fine. You can't hurt this car.
Oh, we love that.
You cannot hurt this car.
We love that.
If they're anything, they're rugged.
Very good.
So just fire it up and drive it.
Okay.
See you, Mary Jane.
Good luck, Mary Jane.
Yes.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, do you think we should take another call or take a break?
I always vote for the break.
That's funny. So do our listeners.
When we come back, are you going to have a great new puzzler?
How about just a new puzzler?
Sold. We'll be back in a minute.
Riding around in my Honda Civic, don't you know I feel oh so good? Don't do nothing drastic in your Japanese plastic, 90 horses right there under your hood. You gotta giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Four-cylinder engine, she's got a four-cylinder heart. She's got a four-cylinder engine, she's got a four-cylinder heart.
And even though NPR's marching band forms a huge SOS at the 50-yard line whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car
Wait
Talk.
Wait a minute. You're back. I'm not.
What are you, front? you're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. And I've got to say that this puzzle was inspired by...
Stolen from?
No. Well, no, it was probably stolen from somebody, but, I mean, they all were. But there's not an original puzzler on the planet anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Between us and Marilyn Vos Savant, we've stolen all of them. From Martin Gardner. The other day, due to some unusual shuffling of cars, my brother-in-law's car wound up in Tommy's possession, and Alex showed up at the garage to pick up his car and left me a car to drive home. And I was in the middle of something, and I said to Alex, just throw the keys in my pocket. My hands were too greasy to even touch the keys. He leaves. Hours later, I wash up, lock up the shop, and I go
discover.
Leave. And I discover waiting for me at the curb is the Fiat. And at that, when I began to drive it home, I began to have an appreciation for the reverence that you had for the Dart.
Yes.
Because compared to the Dart, the Fiat is such a hopeless piece of trash.
Quiet, I'm that, trying to sell it.
To Mayor, right?
To Mayor.
I mean, that thing coughed and wheezed and swerved. I mean, it did everything imaginable. I mean, my heart was in my throat the entire time, to say nothing of the fact that my few remaining brain cells were eradicated by the smell of gasoline.
Yeah, the air quality is bad. That's why the top doesn't go up. You'd die if you had the top up.
I had the top up.
You did?
Oh, yeah, and the fact that you can hear the ignition system through the radio.
Isn't that nice?
It is. You can tell if you've got a misfire.
Well,
number four cylinder has a distinct misfire.
You can tell if your alternator is working. You turn on the radio.
Well, as luck would have it, last night, I go to sleep.
He gets to my house, by the way, and he stumbles in the door and he says, finally, I'm almost there.
I throw the keys on the kitchen table and I said, let me out.
Let me out.
Well, yeah. I get home, and I guess because I was overwhelmed by the gasoline fumes, I had a dream.
Yeah.
And in this dream, I saw you driving a spiffy...
A Diablo?
...little convertible.
Oh. Ooh.
And the license plate of this convertible said, wait, not W-A-I-T, but W-E-I-G-H-T.
Really?
And I said, wait, what kind of a car would have this license plate? That's the question.
And... did you get the answer in your dream, too, or did you have to figure it out when you woke up?
I asked Andrew when I woke up. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or some food item of your choice.
Yeah.
And anything.
Fish is good. Fish is frozen fish.
Fish is the best.
Yeah, fish is good. Fruit. Works great.
Fruit's good. Yeah.
Bananas.
Bread, loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread works.
Send your answer
to. Well,
it's
a little known fact. People don't realize you don't have to take something and put it into an envelope to mail it. You can mail the thing itself.
Yes.
And it's up to your own level
creativity. Exactly.
To see what you can just write the address on, stick stamps on it.
Right.
Right. Stick the stamps right on it.
Yeah, stamps don't stick well to frozen fish.
Well, they do in the beginning. The last thing they're going to do is return it to you.
Send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Hard Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Becca. I'm calling from across the river in Brighton, Mass.
Becca?
Yep.
Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Becca, as in Rebecca.
Exactly. Maybe. So my car is making a noise like a didgeridoo.
A didgeridoo?
Yes.
I have a didgeridoo.
Do you?
I am a master on the didgeridoo.
Mm-hmm. Make the noise for us, Becca.
It sort of sounds a little bit like this. It's a...
Okay.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a VW Jetta, 1992. And this noise is coming from the glove compartment.
From the glove compartment?
Well, the
while you're driving?
While I'm driving. Okay.
Does it happen when you start the engine and you haven't moved the car yet?
No. It only happens when the engine is engaged. So if I'm moving and I have the clutch fully in, doesn't do it. Braking, doesn't do it. Only when I have my foot on the gas, and I think it's more pronounced as I'm just about to disengage the motor a bit. So I'm starting to put in the clutch, pulling off on the gas. That's when it happens the most.
Becca, you start the car in the morning.
Uh-huh.
No noise.
No noise.
You start to drive.
No noise.
No noise. The noise first occurs... When what incident happens? What is it associated with?
Well, I would say it's probably when the car gets up to running speed. I think it's happening mostly when I'm about 35 miles an hour or above.
And you can hear this over the road noise that this thing makes?
Hey!
Come on!
Not when I'm on the highway. I don't know if it happens on the highway because it's too loud.
Right.
Have you ever tried this?
Mm-hmm.
Revving the engine up, but not making the car move. In other words, sitting there in neutral and revving the engine up to try to duplicate the noise at a given engine RPM. Because I have a theory and a fallback position and another fallback.
The thing is that it won't do anything if I have the clutch in, ever.
Huh?
In other words, if the clutch is pressed.
If the clutch is pressed in, it doesn't do it.
So if it's making the noise and you put your foot on the clutch, the noise goes away?
Yes.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And yet the noise sounds like it's coming from the glove box?
Yes, it's the right-hand front...
glove box?
Becca,
mm-hmm.
Sit still. We'll be sending someone over to get you.
Someone's coming over right now to pick up the car.
Very nice men. They are there. They will be there to help you.
My boyfriend hears it too, though. It's not just me.
See, I was convinced that it was your timing belt tensioner. Because when these tensioners go bad, this is exactly the noise that they make.
Yeah.
But you're not allowing us to use that answer.
I mean, the classic diagnosis for a noise going away when you step on the clutch is the bearing on the front shaft of the transmission.
But if you're sitting stopped at a light and it's making the noise.
It's not. It will not exist until I'm already moving.
All right, then I think the clutch thing is bogus. And I'm sticking.
The clutch
is
bogus.
I'm sticking with my timing belt tensioner.
I just had my timing belt replaced, though.
All the more reason. Well, I'll tell you why. Yeah. Just the other day at the shop, we replaced a timing belt that had a questionable tensioner. And when the old belt is in there and it's really loose, which is what happens to old belts, the tensioner doesn't make noise because there's not much of a load on it because the belt is loose and floppy and it's not doing very much tensioning. When, however, the new belt is put in and the tensioner is set for the new belt, it will often, if it's old and worn out, which yours is because it's 105 years old, it will begin to make noise. So that is absolutely what it is. If you go back, and this didn't happen, probably.
Watch out. You're going to ask a very dangerous question.
Until after the timing belt was put in.
Is that true, Becca?
I'm holding my breath.
I'm pretty sure you're right, because we moved to Massachusetts 3 months ago, and it's been doing it since we moved to Massachusetts, and I think right before we left Buffalo, I had the timing belt replaced. And we've been trying to think of what, you know, what
the cause and effect is here.
Yes.
I think that's it. I think you're right.
And, I mean, this can be verified, because if you can get it to be making the noise when someone can have the hood up and listening, then he'll be able
to. Just take it to your mechanic, have him take the cover off, and when it makes the noise, have him just loosen the tension on the timing belt a hair.
The noise will go right away.
Oh.
And you had two backup positions on that one?
I did, but you don't want to know.
I don't want to know what I meant to do with
cream of wheat.
You know? Hey, Becca, welcome to Boston.
Thank you.
Do you realize that Buffalo just got 2 feet of snow recently, like a week or so ago?
I'm driving there tomorrow.
Good luck.
Good for you.
We may never see you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Fred from Hartford, but I'm telling you right now that's an alias, because I got something so sensitive. If my wife ever heard it or someone told her about it, I'd be dead.
So your name is not Fred, and it's unlikely that you're even from Hartford.
You got it.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. So I'll put Fred in quotes.
Right.
And I'll put Hartford in quotes.
There you go.
Okay.
I've got a...
And you describe this as very sensitive?
It's very sensitive.
Well, let's hear it. I can't wait.
This is a potential family issue.
Wait, and since you said that, I'm going to put sensitive in quotes, too.
All right.
I've got now three sets of quotes.
Okay.
Okay, Fred.
One more quote, you'll have a gallon.
A couple of years ago, my friend bought a new car.
Wait, is it your real friend or just...
No, real friend.
Okay.
I won't give you names, but I'll tell you the real story.
Yeah.
My friend bought a new car, and he brought it over, and I looked at it, and I thought it was one of the ugliest things I'd ever seen. But you never tell anybody that, so I said, gee, that's a great-looking car you got there. Oh. And I went on and on how nice a car it was. Well, my wife was standing there watching me say this.
Uh-oh.
Cut to 2 years later, about a few months ago, the lease is up, and he decides to sell the car.
I thought you were going to say he decides to get married, and he brings his girlfriend over. And you say, that's quite a nice-looking girlfriend you got there. She looks just like the front of your car.
I could deal with that. That'd be easy to deal with. No, what happens was my wife says, oh, come on down to the garage. You know, I need some help moving something. And the car is there with a big bow on it. And she says, I know you liked it so much, I bought it for you.
That's what you get.
Oh, what a
tangled
web we
weave. Honest.
And so I now have this quandary.
Wow.
Do I suck it up like a big guy and just say, gee, that's thanks very much, which I've done so far? Or do I fess up to her the fact that I really don't like this car, and that the fact you're probably going to make me drive it till it has 150,000 miles on it is just too much to bear?
Jeez. Fred. I can't say that you don't deserve every bit of it.
Yeah. See, I mean, when you started to tell the story and you said that he brought the car over and you thought it was horribly ugly, and then you told us, but being a nice guy, you said to him, gee, what a nice looking car. I was going to say, there's no reason to say the opposite of what you think. You could have said nothing. Or you could have said good luck.
You could have said something neutral, like, gee, I understand these are really good in snow.
Right. I could have.
Yeah.
You could have.
But you opened your big mouth.
I did.
Yeah, your wife is, I'm sure, a wonderful woman. And the fact that you're about to try to deceive her again.
No, you can't do
that. Yeah, you want us to figure out a scheme for you.
I mean, it's one thing to lie to your dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't lie to your own wife.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. You know why?
You think I ought to come clean?
They catch you every time.
Oh, yeah, they do catch you.
There's no way you can lie to
your wife. It may take time.
They always catch you. So you have to fess up to your wife.
As your penance, my son, not only shall you tell the truth to your wife, but you shall drive this car for at least 2 years before you sell it.
I say
3 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys.
All right.
And make a novena. If you don't know how to make one, I can get the plans for you.
And I know where to get the lumber sheet.
Yeah, I think you jeez.
I just come clean on the whole thing, right?
I think you just got to, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think you have to come clean.
It's the only way. And you will feel an incredible lightness of being when this happens.
Or an incredible hit to the head.
Yeah. A dope slap may be in order.
I'll have to take it.
You are in it deep.
You would have bought a lot of flowers, Fred.
Yeah.
Well, I'll call you from the hospital after I tell her.
I mean, I am curious to know how you make out, because this would be experience for us as well.
All right.
Because things like this could happen in our lives, and I would like to know how this advice we gave you works. I mean, she may turn around and dump you and run off with your friend.
On the other hand,
he's got a nice Lexus now.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a new car, right. Let us know how you like sleeping in the garage anyway.
I will.
See you, Fred.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See that? Boy, I mean, he was just trying to be nice.
Boy,
he was just
trying
to be nice.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Can you get yourself in trouble by not telling the truth?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day, and lots of times, you don't really tell a lie, but you don't really tell the truth either. And sometimes you do it just to be polite. I remember I was in the presence of someone the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but I'm sure he or she will remember and call me about it. And he or she said something that I really wasn't interested in at all. And I, you know, to make conversation, I did the nodding and, oh, really? Oh, gee, that's interesting.
I nod off.
Yeah.
That saved
Instead
me
of saying, you know, I don't have the slightest amount of interest in what you're telling me. You do say things like, gee, that's really good. That's and then if they pick it up, oh, you really like it? Well, I can get you one, you know. And all of a sudden, you're in over your head.
Right, you say, no, I don't want you to trouble yourself.
No, I was just lying. I was just trying to be polite.
And that's the time when you should tell the truth, when it gets to that first crossroad.
Yeah.
You should say, I didn't mean it. I was just lying. Well,
oh,
it's
man.
Happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, getting ready for his annual neighborhood-wide turkey trot, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted as always by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our new truck reviewer is Zbigniew Rig. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our director of genealogical research is Manny Cousins. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. The Car Talk lottery ticket coordinator is Jason Rainbows. Chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff.
My favorite.
The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey. Known to the Death Wish pedestrians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week.
We'll
bye-bye.
Be back next week. Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1446, download other barely tolerable Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can subscribe to our free Car Talk podcast.
Oh, so if I miss the show on my local station, I can sign up so it's always on my iPod.
That's right.
And that's free.
Right.
How much does it cost to keep it off my iPod?
Oh, big, big money.
That's what I thought.
Sign up for your free weekly backup copy of Car Talk at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Terry Gross daydreams about raising llamas in Montana whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.